This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
One of the things that we heard this morning, happening more and more, and certainly would love if someone can find out maybe from one of the leaders, maybe Premier Ford or maybe Mr. Trudeau about green cars and green energy and EV market. Like, how stable is this thing? Because we hear that Tesla's announcing it's going to lay off 10% of its global workforce because of slow sales and over this price war for EVs. So this is a consistent report we're hearing. You know, it's even Tesla having trouble selling cars. Demand is gone. You know, this is a company we should mention. We give a lot of money to. They get subsidies every time we buy a car here in this country. Tesla, you buy a $65,000 car, you get $7,500 in incentives and subsidies. So if you look at just Tesla, we've handed that company $217 million in 2023. And yet they still can't sell the cars. So, you know, if we want to convince people to get into these vehicles, and if we want to convince people to go green, these are not the headlines that help. But let's get to a breakdown of what we are actually looking at and what it all means. Greg Lason, digital and mobile editor over at Automotive News Canada. Thanks for joining, Greg.
Anytime.
What do you make of this headline? I mean, I don't think people expect Tesla to cut that much, but what do you make of all this?
Well, I think Tesla is finding out rather quickly how difficult it is to be a legacy automaker. They've been around long enough now that I don't think they're a disruptor. I think they are part of the automotive industry in every way, shape, and form. And so when the world stops buying your product, you have to lay off people. This is no different than Stellantis or Ford or Honda or Toyota. When they start to see margins decline and profits deteriorate, what happens? People get laid off. And that's what we're seeing happen right here. Tesla is becoming just like any other automaker at this point.
Yeah, with their handout. Yeah. Handout and give us a handout, you know, right?
Let's talk about that handout that you mentioned. A $5,000 federal EV incentive for Tesla. I think your listeners should know. I've been meaning to write a column about this. I haven't yet. But that $5,000 doesn't go to the consumer. It makes it, you know, the price $5,000 less for the consumer. It goes to Tesla. And if you follow the path, that is an American company owned by a billionaire American who builds the Teslas that qualify for that Canadian incentive in China. So really, none of that, other than the consumer who buys the vehicle, benefits from that $5,000. It truly benefits the automaker and the laborers who are building that vehicle in China to sell it back to us in Canada.
Yeah. And why would we be subsidizing China's EV market, right? Like, we're sending money over to China and competing, like, they're competing with us. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah. And then that was the second part to this, is that the reason Tesla is laying off people and the reason Tesla is slashing prices and the reason North American Detroit 3 companies are worried is because China is producing more EVs than they can sell at home and are looking to flood the international, the global market with cheaper EVs. They're going to start building them in China, in Mexico. They're going to sell them in Mexico first, and then they're going to try and use the USMCA, the revised NAFTA, if you will, to get those vehicles into America and then up to Canada. So China is a real threat in the EV market, and domestic automakers are starting to see that and feel that.
Yeah. But we're the putts for giving the money. America's not shipping off checks to China to compete with them up here. Like, we've seen how this turns out when China makes a cheaper version of something and then everyone wants it. And then we find our automakers have their hands out for help. Right. Like, I do not understand how you can ask the taxpayers on one hand, Greg, you know, for billions and billions to invest into these EV market investments. And then you say, look, this is once in a lifetime. And then all of a sudden we're sending checks over to China, which, you know, like they can pay for it themselves.
Yeah. And I talked to Ontario's Minister of Economic Development, Vic Fedeli, just last week about EV subsidies in Ontario. And there is no way that this province is going to offer subsidies and incentives. They squarely put this
on giving them to China.
It's your mandate, Canada, as a federal government. So they will be responsible for those incentives. Ontario, though, still will invest in manufacturing because it believes that there's still a future for vehicle production in Ontario. So they want to keep people working. And that's where the province and the federal governments differ. One wants people to spend the money, give you incentives, give free money to you. But really, it goes to the automakers and in some ways goes to China. The province wants to give money to the automakers so that they create jobs in Ontario. And that's really the divide between the province and the federal government.
Which is why I think some people look at it as a giant grift. It's like we're subsidizing almost every area of this business to ensure that it's successful. So it's like we pay for the jobs it creates, and then we pay for you to buy the car, and then we pay for other markets to compete with. I find the whole thing is like a house of cards.
There is an argument to be made, though, that because there are sales mandates in some of the most lucrative and busiest jurisdictions, such as California, and 80% of what we make in Ontario is shipped to the United States. So there is a case to be made that if all of these jurisdictions are mandating electric vehicles, if we have to go electric, if we don't keep the output, the manufacturing footprint in Ontario, once the internal combustion engine is mandated away, we will lose those factories and those jobs. So there's an argument to be made to keep the factories open, building the future or what's coming next. And it seems to be every government has banked on electric vehicles, even though we can't get to a middle class, mainstream, reasonably priced mass market electric vehicle as quickly as everyone needs to or wants to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that 2035 date lasting because I just think it's so rushed, and I just think it's a pipe dream to get everyone to transform in that amount of time. I'm not saying you can't have targets. I just think this is an incredibly risky date to be trying to turn all this stuff down across North America, given you know just some of the challenges we have in distances and even temperatures in this country. So where do you think this goes with Tesla? Because I think there'll be very little appetite to give more money out. Or do you just see this as, you know, the market correcting itself and we just got to go along with the punches? Because more subsidies will just drive people nuts.
I don't see, you know, I wouldn't rule out some tweaks to the Canadian federal ISEV program. That's the $5,000 rebate. There have been
is that the one to China or the one to Canadian EV buyers?
Yeah, the one to Canadian EV buyers. Okay. That $5,000. I wouldn't be surprised if it's increased, perhaps in this upcoming budget, or if there is a pre-election budget next year. Automakers and their lobbyists have been calling for $10,000, and that's essentially what you have in Quebec, Manitoba, and British Columbia right now, when you add in provincial rebates. If Ontario stands strong and doesn't move and they say no incentives in Ontario, that kind of forces the hand of the government because we are the biggest retail market in the country and automakers have been calling for $10,000. The states is $7,500. So $10,000 in Canada is essentially the same thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see that. In terms of the market, though, I don't see us hitting those targets either. To put it in perspective, 11% of new vehicle registrations last year were zero emissions vehicles. We need to double that number by 2026. That's going to be a difficult task. And to get to 100 by 2035 is almost impossible.
Yeah. And just quickly, just so I can get clarification, Greg, is the subsidy that we're sending to China, is that a federal subsidy or is that provincial?
Yeah. So this is a federal, electric vehicle incentive, whether it's federal or provincial, is paid to the automaker. And so then it depends where that automaker builds its electric vehicle. If it's built in Canada, then that incentive helps keep people in Canada working on the assembly line. But in the specific case of Tesla, they make the majority of the vehicles that qualify for that federal $5,000 rebate in China, which means if you follow the money, it goes from the government to Tesla, then to the factory in Tesla where the workers are building those vehicles to send them back to us from China.
Yeah, and then our workers watch as Chinese cars are bought and not the ones they're making, right?
Right. We don't have a Tesla plant in Ontario or in Canada for that matter. So it's not keeping anyone here in Canada working. Heck, they don't even have dealerships for the most part. So you're not even keeping dealers working. A lot of it's done online. And so that federal incentive to Tesla doesn't necessarily help the Canadian economy. And then if you look at some of the data, there was just some more released today. It's not even certain that our carbon tax and all of these incentives actually reduce the pollution as well. So, you know, there's a lot of questions to be asked, and it's going to be the topic of a column at some point by me in terms of where this money goes and what it's actually doing in the electric vehicle industry.
Yeah, I would I think the piece is certainly due. I don't think a lot of people know about it. But to see what it would add up to, I think, is it would shock people. I might pass on that read because I might pass out. But, Greg, I appreciate it, I think.
Anytime.
There you go. That's Greg Layson joining us, digital and mobile editor of Automotive News Canada. And, yeah, we're handing out all this money, right? And just no guarantee that there's any kind of investment coming back to us. But, like, we're just throwing it at Tesla. They don't build anything here. It's just crazy to me that we would pay China to compete with the EV market we're now subsidizing and trying to corner the market on. Can anyone make sense of that? You cut that out of the budget and you might save a dollar or two, right? Maybe? I don't know.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.